I think we're on the air. If you're listening to my voice out there in Radio Land, then you're hearing Zany Mystic. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to your favorite BBS radio show, A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. As I said earlier, I am the Zany Mystic, Lance White, and your host, as always. Tonight's guest is Matt Zoe. Matt is a holistic comedian, self-described rascal, absurdity guru, shameless self-promoter, I can validate that one, and author of his recent book, The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment. He presents entertaining workshops across the United States, universally and interdimensionally. So let's welcome him into this dimension now. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hi, Lance. How are you? Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, you know, I have to admit that I took your book outside and started reading, and I couldn't help but laugh.
Mm.
It's very funny. It's between light chuckles and hysteria.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear it. I worked on that material for many years. I've been doing my Matzo since 2003.
Uh-huh.
So much of the book, which the book is called The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment, How to Become Enlightened on a Budget by Taking a Course in the Power of the Celestial Shmikra Prophecy Dematza Code, now copyright registered trademark. You see how it rolls off the tongue? It took about 5 years I was working on that material, so it has a lot of good stuff.
Wow. Now, you take a lot of pokes at New Age, New Age cows, which is very funny. I love the way you do it. And also there's a lot of wisdom in the book. How did you start on this journey?
Well, I actually am a metaphysical teacher. I've been a teacher for many, many years. Basically what happened was I used to teach people meditation and, higher consciousness, new thought, that sort of thing. And one day what happened was people began to sort of worship me a little bit. And I was taken aback because I didn't want to get into an ego situation. And what happened was I said, well, let me do my same class, but let me put on a wig and a funny glass and just add a lot of jokes in there. Many years ago, I'd done stand-up comedy, so I'd had that in my background. And so I did the class, and I went back to a place I'd taught at before, sat in a different corner of the room, invited all my students, and then half of them didn't even realize it was me.
Oh, my goodness.
So I it was an interesting thing to explore what is spirituality. So that's one of the things I did. Also, taking yourself so seriously, and I hope that the listeners will get this message, if nothing else, but, in my own spiritual search for many years, I endured many different disciplines, changing diets, teachers, mantras, everything that can be done, from twirling incense, to meditating. I've done all those things.
Yeah.
And what kind of happens on your spiritual journey is at a certain point you kind of realize that you've acquired a lot of knowledge, but yet you don't really know that much. You don't know anything for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's sort of a cosmic joke on you. So in the book, I sort of poke fun at the seriousness of it, but also to bring out some universal truths, which I do have in there, like the planter's principle, which I don't know if you recall the planter's principle from the book, but that's something that I like to remind people.
Tell us what it is, because the audience will love it.
The planter's principle, people have heard of the planter's peanuts guy. That's the guy with the little monocle and the top hat, and he's for planter's peanuts. So what I realized after many years of doing many spiritual disciplines is that basically no matter what I would do, whether I was compassionate with people, whether I was detached from people, whether I was being a sensitive New Age guy, or I was saying wise things, people's responses were always strange. So the planter's principle is basically the idea that everybody is nuts. And because everybody is nuts, you can't take anything too personally. So that's the planter's principle. So if you have a difficult situation with your family, we just went through an election and we're looking at what the Republicans did and all their shenanigans, you realize you don't get angry, just simply say, oh, it's the planter's principle. Everybody's nuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen to that one.
Mm.
Boy. Well, in the preface of your book, you mentioned that in the spring of 1987, you had your first enlightenment experience, and that in itself is an interesting story. You might want to share it with us. But I wrote a note to myself here in the cover, on the inside, that was the date of the harmonic convergence.
It was around that time. I know what you were talking about. I was actually, interesting you bring up the harmonic convergence. That, I believe, was in August. Wasn't it in August of the...
I'm not sure.
I think it was, because, you know, it was the summer. Because I remember I went out, I was in Florida at the time.
Mm.
I remember that day, but I think, I'll have to look that up. Maybe one of the listeners will be able to tell us. But
yeah.
This actually happened before that. I put spring of 87. I didn't put an exact date. But
okay.
Basically, what happened was is that I was living in New York. I was only 19 at the time. And I got a job on Wall Street. It's a long story, but I got an office job. I was working on Wall Street, and I would go get up every morning and put on my suit and take the R train downtown and, you know, go to work. And I didn't really like it that much, but it was fun and exciting because it was new. And, you know, it was kind of a heady experience. And so I remember one day I was, I decided to go to the park, and so it was a beautiful spring day, and I went to a Korean market and got this nice, you know, buffet of vegetables, and I got the New York Times, and I went to a park, and it was beautiful, and it was a park bench, and I sat down, and I could have sort of whipped my crisp copy of the New York Times, the Sunday New York Times open, which was very thick in those days, it probably still is, and I was very enamored by myself. I thought, wow, look at me, I'm 19, I'm a big shot, we call it a knocker. In Yiddish, I'm a big knocker. Look at me. Wow. I'm so great. And then what happened was there was an elderly couple across from me, and they were feeding pigeons. Well, to make a long story short, a bird pooped in my head.
Oh, no.
So that was a sort of a pigeon poop incident that biofueled my paradigm shift, because when it pooped in my head, suddenly I got knocked out of the ego.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realized that, you know, go ahead. Yeah, it didn't matter who I thought I was or all those things. It really wasn't that significant. I wasn't that important in the scheme of things. And who I thought I was wasn't such a big deal, because the people across me started laughing. The elderly couple, and they gave me some, you know, some tissue, and I wiped my head, you know, head, and I walked out, and then I was sort of knocked out of the ego.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, it's funny because I won't go into the story now, but I had a similar experience myself on the beach one day. And it was night, and I was with my dog, and of all the places that I could sit down on the beach, there was just one log, and ironically, some dog had taken a dump on it, and I sat right on it, and when I realized what happened, I had a conscious moment, and I looked up at the stars, and I thought, oh my God, I've been asleep for 12 years.
That's a very good point.
You know, and it's like I thought I should be doing this and I should be doing that, and I realized, no, every step that I took up until that moment was necessary.
Mm.
And, you know, we think that our lives, there are times where our lives seem like they don't have as much meaning, and yet every step seems to take us in a certain direction to where we are right now.
Yes, I had many experiences like those when things wouldn't quite go right. Another time, I was working in the medical field, and I was doing accounting work, and to make a long story short, I was put in charge of getting money for the company, and I was learning a computer system, and so I was all hyped up. I was looking at my computer monitor, and I was doing some very important electronic computer work. This is many years ago, when computers were fairly new, and I was like riveted by the computer screen, and so what happened was I went to sit back down in my chair, and there was no chair there. So I fell. I had a pratfall right on my butt, and the office, everybody started to laugh.
Oh, my God.
And I realized just how absurd it was, but that, again, it made me conscious, and I think that that's really the key to my humor, is that I try to make people more conscious with it, of the absurdity of things, and then that allows for relaxation.
Don't take anything too seriously, especially yourself.
Mm.
I like that about your book. It looks as if you have had some kind of background, too, in extraterrestrial research or UFOs.
Oh, did you catch the reference? Did you look at the article about stuff?
Yes.
Did you see that? What did you uncover there, my friend?
Hold on. You're going to ask me a question that I might not be able to answer.
Well, I'll tell you. Go to page.
Okay.
I'm going to surprise you now. Go to page 16.
All right, 16. Oh, yes. This is great. I love this part. This is very funny. Yes, on stuff.
Look at the 6-1 down.
Okay. Is that the Bashar one?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, are you a Bashar fan?
Greetings to you. This day of your time is you great time to exist.
How about the four, what is it, the three basic laws or the four, what is it? I can't remember.
Oh, the four laws. You exist.
Yeah.
What you put out is what you get back.
Right.
The one is the all and the all is the one.
Right.
Change is the only constant.
Yes, brilliant.
Thank you.
It's so simple. And, you know, I've had Daryl Anka on my show before, too, not as Bashar, but just as Daryl.
Mm.
And it was a wonderful experience, but I love him as Bashar.
That's part of my background. There's other people. There was another gentleman who used to do a being named Elon, and they all originated from the planet Esasani.
Oh, really?
And, yes. There's a whole subculture with that. It's probably most of the people don't know about it, but I don't want to get too much off topic. But one of the things that's really great about their philosophy, and that's a fourth density consciousness, mm. is that to follow your excitement, and that
yeah.
creates positive synchronicity. So that, in a way, is what my act is about, is that I am following my excitement and creating synchronicity. And so that's a very good teaching that they do offer.
Absolutely. And speaking of the fourth density, that makes it easy for me to segue into the idea that many people today, myself included, believe that we're moving up into the fourth density, that this is one of those periods, those cosmic periods, whether it's 13,000 years or 26,500 or 4.5 billion years, that we are going to have an opportunity to go into a higher density,
mm.
fourth or fifth, maybe higher, I don't know.
Mm.
Do you have any gut feeling about that? Or?
Well, from what I understand, fifth density is non-physical. Fourth density is still being a physical being, but being what you might call in the Christ conscious or enlightened.
Right.
And that's totally determined upon your belief system. So, you know, like one of the things that I parody, I don't know if you caught this in the book, but I have something called Domatzo Code. And it's a grid. It looks remarkably like the Mayan Zolk'in,
which
is one of the sacred calendars. It's on page 130. And there's super schmeeker questions at the end of each of the 12 chapters where you have to decode it.
Yeah.
So one of the things about 2012 is that it's the collapse of the old paradigm, and then we're moving into timelessness, nonlinear thought, intuition, synchronicity, and being more at one with our higher selves. So
yeah.
I believe that people are in their own reality bubbles.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
they will create things. And so from my experience, you know, even though it looks pretty desperate in the economic situation, somehow I think it's going to, like, be okay. Like, I'm not too worried about it, but other people are really suffering. So it all depends on what you're creating in your consciousness.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of fear going on out there, and especially, you know, if you follow any of the conspiracy theories, basically, they're saying pretty openly in these subterranean channels that the Federal Reserve is basically is robbing the coffers and has been since it was established in the 1920s or 30s, and that this is a big consolidation game of the banking elite. But you know, if you're looking at it from another viewpoint, so what?
Yeah, I was just having lunch the other day with Bigfoot, and he said, don't worry about it. And then I said, okay, I won't worry about Bigfoot, but can you just stand away from my meal because I keep on getting your hairs in my food? You always be careful if you go out Bigfoot or Sasquatch. I mean, they're good tippers, but they're very hairy. I mean, the food will get hair in it. So please,
yeah.
that's a public service announcement for all the listeners.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And, of course, I see there's a lot of different, on the stuff and more stuff pages, there's a lot of different ones that you mentioned. I like, they're all interesting, they're all funny.
Mm.
I'm an old Louise Hay fan, of course.
Ah, yes, you can heal your stuff.
Yeah. And, let's see, occultism, the good stuff is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, it goes on and on.
NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Watch your language when you talk about stuff.
That's a good one, too.
That's well, my favorite, though, is primal therapy.
Okay.
Stuff. Ah! That's, you know, one time, you know, just the absurdity of it. about 20 years ago, I went to a holistic expo,
uh-huh.
and I was very new to this, and I was walking around, and I think it was my brother and his wife, and they were not into metaphysics, but they decided to go with me, you know, for the day. And we walked by a room, and it was like primal therapy, and then like simultaneously, like all like 30 people in there started screaming, and my brother jumped. It was like one of the funniest. It was like, also, so I didn't cry, like, oh, what's going on? And, ah! And it was the primal therapy room.
Oh, that's funny.
I miss those days.
Oh, what about the spirit sock? That's pretty funny.
The spirit what?
Spirit sock. The Matzo brand spirit sock. Stuck with a spiritual blowhard that has to recount every detail of his trip to a Buddhist monastery or his last colonic or give his opinion on the Illuminati, UFOs, or the secrets? Forget the blowhard and create well-being for yourself. Shut him or her up with a Matzo brand spirit sock. Filled with aromatic herbs in a cotton sleeve, the spirit sock conveniently fits into any yapping mouth and comes in economy-sized packages of 12. Whether you're stuck at a New Age seminar with people pouring out their feelings, trapped in an elevator with a neurotic motor mouth loudly churning over mind chatter, or cornered by a maid who wants to talk about your relationship, reach for a spirit sock.
It's a very big seller. You know, in the Rouse's Guide to Enlightenment, how do you come enlightened on a budget by taking a course in the power of the Celestial Shemekah of Prophecy, the Matzo Code now, copyright registered trademark, OM. Matzo Brand International offers a whole wide range of many good products. We have Matzo Brand Affirmation Gum, Matzo Brand Build Your Own Universe Kit, Matzo Brand Toilet Paper, it's very good for long trips, Matzo Brand Amazing Aura Comb. I mean, the list goes on. Matzo Brand Spirit Guide Catcher, you know? You ever have your Spirit Guide Swing Hookie? You need to win the lottery, you know, winning lottery numbers.
Yeah.
So you get this net and you can catch them. It's, very, very, very important to have products. See, when you're a holistic practitioner, it's very important to have products because that's how you make money. And, I just had a funny experience, about in June. I spoke before a group here in Denver called the Business Honoring Spirituality.
Uh-huh.
And this kind of gets to the root of what I do. People don't always think, first they didn't think that I actually know anything spiritually, and then they don't understand what I'm parroting. So I went to this group, and my thing was about how to market your New Age or holistic business. So I started telling people, well, you know, come up with a miracle product, lie to people, get a publicist. I mean, I was telling them everything to do, you know, to hard sell people. And so that's what I kind of am a parody of. So some people, they loved it, and other people got mad at me, okay?
Uh-oh.
So flash forward, I became a little bit notorious in the area, and so there was a local magazine that didn't want to publish my monthly articles. Now, luckily, there are some magazines that will be publishing, like, a column that I have called humbly Matzo Brand Wisdom.
Oh, good.
Actually, Matzo Brand Registered. Yeah, we said that registered or copyright there.
Right, right.
So I did this show, and I want to do this magazine. She said, and then she said no, okay, because they thought I was too controversial.
Oh.
So now they formed a holistic association. There's a specific new holistic organization here, and I went to it, and what they did in the meeting was, it was all about hard sell, it was all about networking, but they were supposed to be spiritual.
Yeah.
So the very thing that they were judging me for parodying, they actually turned around and did themselves.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, it's not easy being me.
No, I don't think it's any easy being anybody.
Who are we anyway?
Exactly.
Because, you know, the truth is, you are me.
There you are. Hi, me.
You are a part of my conscience. I'm a part of your conscience. Because the truth is, Lance, if I may say this, separation is an illusion. The essence of all objects are real, but the perception they are separate is not. All the parts of a whole, all the parts of all it is. Everything is connected. Everything is synchronicity. All one thing.
Yeah.
That's usually my pickup line at bars with women, but it doesn't really go over too well.
Well, it might have been one of mine years ago in the gay bars, but I'm too old to go anymore, so.
Oh, all right, well, sorry to hear that.
I'm on the other side of the fence, so I'm your alter ego there.
Uh-oh, I don't know. Listen, I got so many personalities now, I don't know if I need another one.
All right, well, we won't add another one to it. But the only one you didn't poke fun of, and I did this years ago, was the S training with Werner Erhard.
Oh, those S and Landmark and Form. I don't know. In the book that I have, I mean, I have quite a bit of information, The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment. I cover a lot of things.
Yeah,
It's pretty eclectic. I mean, it's motivational, it's self-help, it's Eastern, Western.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Forum and Landmark and Est and all those things. I'll get to them eventually. I'm a little bit of a muckrake. I like to go to events. I'm now going to be performing in some clubs in the Denver area, but I still go to spiritual events, and sometimes I go in my outfit, and sometimes they kind of freak out at that. So I have more adventures. I'm just beginning. I'm just getting started.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I saw your picture at the end where it talks about you, and you're in your outfit. Mm. And I just can't help but be curious about what you really look like underneath the wig and the glasses and the turban. Are you ever going to reveal your true identity?
Well, I'm kind of doing a little bit of pranksterism now in the sense that I haven't done this with you, but half of the radio shows I've been on already, I've been on there as my alter ego. So I'm actually doing two shows at the same time and trying to see if people will guess it's me.
Oh.
Also, in the book, there are clues to my real identity, because I'm like a B-level metaphysical teacher. Some people know me in certain parts of the country. So, I've been doing it. So, again, it's the reality testing. And so sometimes it's kind of interesting. Some people will hate Matt Stone. They'll say, no, I will never have you on the show. But then the other guy goes, and they love him. And then other times they like both of the characters, and we put both of them on. And so it's kind of like a reality test to see if they can, figure it out. So I do everything twice. Back in June, we had the International New Age Trade Show here in Denver where people, it's like authors come and we promote, holistic products. And I was there as both. I had two books that came out, so I was promoting both. Half the time I was Matzo, and the other time I was the other guy.
Oh.
And some people did figure it out. Most of them didn't. I had book signings, everything.
Oh, that's funny.
It's not easy being two people, though. I don't recommend it.
No, the split personality thing and all. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Mm.
Well, you said you still go to spiritual events. What kind? Did you ever cotton to one of them above the others? For instance, have you ever been to Burning Man or?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I haven't been to Burning Man yet. I wanted to go to one of those.
I've heard it's outstanding.
Yeah, they have variations of those in different parts of the country, and I think it's a good communal experience. But I think you bring up a very good point, Lance, is that at a certain point, I absorbed so much spiritual knowledge, I couldn't absorb anymore. I mean, even just studying the Bashar material, I mean, that's pretty advanced. You get up to that point, and vibrationally, it's kind of intense. So what kind of happened for me is that I now... Part of the reason I do Matzo is to create an experience for people where it's like a play shop or we joke around. I have Third Eyes, which I hand out, the stickers that we put on our third eye.
Oh, that's funny. I like that.
I mean, we do like an experiential thing because I find that, I think I have this in the book. I had a section on, I have several different chapters, but I have one on acronyms.
Yeah.
And I meet a lot of Akimas. Do you know what an Akima is?
No, what is that?
An Akima is a Course in Miracles android. And a Course in Miracles android is when you're talking with somebody, like at a Unity Church, and you start talking about spiritual stuff, and they say, the Course in Miracles says... Everything is, the Course in Miracles says... So what I find with a lot of people is that they're sincerely trying to become enlightened, and they mentally get it. They understand... metaphysics and new thought and, all these things.
Yeah.
But they haven't integrated it emotionally. They haven't integrated in the other life. So mentally they're parroting all these things and they sound smart because they read a couple of books, but they really have not gone through the internal process of really transforming your emotions and integrating with your actions. And so I try to give people an experience of doing that a little bit.
Well, that's wonderful, because that's where the work goes. I mean, we all kind of fall down on that one where when you realize that there is actual work involved in evolving your own soul, I used to study Gurdjieff and Uspensky. And, the whole premise of that is that we're born with a soul that's unfinished and you have to finish it yourself. Well, it's kind of,
I'm just focusing on my feet right at this moment. Being mindful of my feet. Did you ever study any of the Vernon Howard material? The Mystic Path, the Cosmic Power?
Oh, I don't remember.
He's all the Gurdjieff stuff. It's the same thing, but Vernon Howard was one of the greatest all time. You know what's great about Vernon Howard? is that he said there's no religion higher than truth. I mean, that was his thing. And wake up, that was his whole thing. Wake up!
Oh, yeah.
I love Vernon Howard.
Yeah.
That's a little plug for Vernon Howard. Even though I don't mention Vernon Howard in The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment, How to Become Enlightened on a Budget by Taking a Course in the Power of the Celestial Speaker Prophecy Debacle Code Now. Wow, I did that one breath. I'm getting good practice.
Yes, you are.
He was a great Vernon Howard. But anyway, sorry, I interrupted you as I often do.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I wasn't saying anything important.
Well, you were. You were talking about the fourth school? Is that what it was called?
Well, it's the fourth way school.
Fourth way school, okay, that's right.
And I was involved with one of those, and it turns out that the teacher of that school was a real rascal, and he was creating a cult, you know, a cult to get rich on.
That's how you do it, buddy. That's why I had the Matzah Brand International. I have a multi-level marketing. You know what MLM stands for?
No, what?
Matzah loves money. So I promote products, but the thing is, it's a parody of it. I actually do have products. Did I send you anything with your book?
No, just the book.
Okay, I guess I was cheap with you.
You
know what I have for sale?
What? What's that?
That's the Matzah Brand Self-Esteem Energizer.
Oh, snappy.
it's a little hand clapper, basically. The Matzah Brand Self-Esteem Energizer, if you're not feeling good about yourself. You know, because I can't make any money by just, you know, telling people to hug themselves.
Right.
So, you know, the little sales pitch is, what's the sound of one hand clapping? You building up your self-esteem. That's what. Why rely upon other people to make you feel good about yourself? Use the Matzah Brand Self-Esteem Energizer hand clapper to give yourself a quick boost of worthiness.
Oh, I love it.
It only takes a few seconds to do. May break with excessive use. Comes in three sizes. Small, medium, and I really have some major issues that prevent me from loving myself for any reason. Everybody go out and buy one.
Oh, that's great. That does seem to be one of the biggest, you know, I see it especially in the Bashar interviews and, you know, with his groups and stuff in the tapes and, you know, the YouTube videos where people just walk up and they ask their little questions and it just seems so sad. People can be so insecure, and he lovingly, always with love, just cuts right through it. I mean, it's just like a knife to butter. And
it's a belief, because most people think they are logical, linear, third density beings, that they're finite, and what we can understand through awakening our consciousness is that we are the infinite universal intelligence. But we simultaneously exist in time and space as individuals with names and identities. So part of the disidentification or undefining of yourself, and I actually covered this. I have a coupon in the book, the Beingness Coupon, which is all about breaking down your identity, the Beingness Coupon. When you get agitated, afraid, or just plain bored, remind yourself, you're not your name, you're not your age, you're not your past history, you're not your problems or concerns, you're not your future experiences, you're not your body, you're not your personality. All of these are just perceptions, nothing more. So with people like Bashar, what he does is he raises their awareness and says, you know, you're not these things. I mean, you're identifying with it, but you can make different choices and change your beliefs and then change your reality, because reality is holographic.
Very good.
I know my stuff.
I guess you
But oftentimes people think I'm on the stuff because they think I'm like high or something, but I'm not.
No, I can tell you're not. You know your stuff. I had to read that Beingness Coupon twice, because I was in a moment when I was feeling very third dimensional and you know, very body oriented and woe is me and so on and so forth. So you know, it's important to remember that I did choose to be here at some point.
We all did.
You know. and unfortunately, once you go down that birth canal, well, it's kind of hard to squeeze yourself back in again. It's like putting...
I wouldn't recommend it.
No, toothpaste back in the toothpaste jar or whatever. So speaking of money, are you actually doing okay on with your book yet? I mean, I published a book last year and I kind of dropped the ball on it, and so I haven't really made any money on it.
Well, The Rascal's Guide is fairly new. I mean, you have to have a backup plan, Lance. You know, I have a couple of backup plans. You know, win the lottery. you know, by watching The Secret video, which we know is absolute truth.
Right.
Marrying a rich widow, and is there any rich widows out there who would like to support me in the lifestyle that I've grown accustomed to as a guru with many followers? Please call in. You know, sometimes though with the rich widows, you know, my ideal woman is a woman who looks like Marilyn Monroe, but has the brains of Einstein.
Oh yeah.
But so often I get women who look like Einstein and have the body of, the brain of Einstein. No, they have you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
don't confuse
that.
Me.
Yeah. The image is.
Where's my self-esteem energizer?
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
I'm looking at my feet right now.
All right, good, because I'm mindful too. I'm aware of my breath. It's not altering in any way.
Oh, well, I brushed my teeth before the show so that so my breath would be good on air.
Are you going to kiss somebody later? Because that's what you didn't really want.
Oh, it's been so long, I think I would forget how.
All right, let's get a date for Lance. All right, so the callers out there, call in if you want a hot date.
Oh, no, it's too complicated. That's just, you know.
That's a belief.
Well, you're right.
It's not reality.
You're right.
Don't you hate when new age people come up to you and you say, like, you're just like having a bad day, and you say, oh, I don't feel so good. And they say, watch what you're saying. It drives me nuts when people come up, go to a church, and they go, I love you. And they have a smile on their face. I love you. And I'm like, you don't know me, you don't love me, and you're giving me the creeps. Don't tell me you love me. If you love me, just love me. Don't give me this whole spiel about, you know, that we were aliens together or that we have some great spiritual mission or something. Just, you know, either give me some money or give me a hug and then move along, all right?
Exactly. I agree with that one totally. Well, you know, it is nice, though, when people are kind to one another out in the real world. You know, that's
authentic kindness. Authentic.
Yeah. It seems to be the one thing that really makes a difference is, you know, because I'm kind of living the hermit's life, so I get to go to the store once in a while. They let me out of my cage. But I do have fun with people while I'm out. And it's amazing to find that people are not shut down entirely, that they are actually still friendly and can laugh and joke around and have a good time with a stranger.
Mm.
Not all of them, but a few.
Yeah, my father had the gift of gab. He was a very strange man, as my stepfather raised me. He was kind of like a loner, like he was just him, my mother, and me. But we go out, like he was everybody's friend, like he'd be talking to the cashier, he'd be talking to the, like everybody knew him, he's joking around with him. You go home, he shuts up. He's like a statue, nothing. Like a rock, I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
So he had the gift of gab, and it's important to connect with people, not just spiritual people, but everybody's spiritual, and just, you know, kind of find a connection. For people who are looking for their soulmate or love or whatever, there's many different ways during the day that you can connect with other people. So be open, you know?
Yeah. Well, you could do a radio show or you could write a book.
That's true. you could be a flim-flam guru like me. I mean, there's many ways to connect with people.
Well, there's a lot of good, solid material in your book. That much I did figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of good advice. And it does seem that you do have a concern for the environment, which I was glad to see, too, that you do make practical suggestions in here about the environment and conservation and stuff. But doesn't it seem like the planet as a whole, on the whole, don't you use Preparation H? But doesn't it seem that the planet on the whole... as a whole, as a unity, is going down over Niagara Falls as far ecologically and on many levels. We're just burning it. We're burning up the rainforest like crazy. We've got chemtrails in the air. We don't even know what those are. Everybody's in denial about that one.
Well, not to be too complicated, but I have done environmental work. I also have been an activist.
Oh.
And I did actually create another character, which I don't want to be too confusing because I'm already two people now, but I actually have another character. And I was working on a different issue, but I think, you know, I heard something the other day, and I think it really made sense to me after seeing Obama win. And they said that, you know, change is generational.
Mm.
And I think for all the people who are listening, and I assume that they're mostly metaphysical or New Age, a lot of times with 11/11 and the millennium and all these things, we always hear these prophecies about the photon belt and the ascension, all these things are going to happen. But what I would say to them is change really... overall is generational.
Mm.
Like, I know back in the 80s, it was much, much denser reality than we have now. I mean, things are much lighter. And I would suspect that another 20 or 30 years from now, it'll even be a more inclusive, expansive consciousness. So my feeling is that a lot of changes are generational. Mm. The environmental things I really only got on board a couple of years ago, but I've done a lot. And, you know, we're just learning new things. Like today I was watching a show, and a woman had developed reusable envelopes where if you get sent a bill from, like, your cable company or utility company, rather than having them having another envelope in there for you to mail back, you can reseal the envelope and send it back so you don't waste paper.
Well, that's a good one. I like that. That's very practical.
It's called Eco Envelope. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to contact all my credit card companies, my bank, anybody who does that, and say to them, please use it. So what I would say to all the listeners, if you're looking at the environmental issues, one, you know, and I talk about this in the book a little bit, you know, take care of yourself. You know, like with gas, I drive generally 5 miles under the speed limit because it saves gas and it creates less pollution.
Yeah.
And I only get there like a minute or two later than usual because all the stoplights.
Oh.
They call it hypermiling. So I get about 50 miles a gallon on my car because, like, if you stop for more than 7 seconds, cut your engine.
Oh.
It's fuel injected. Cut your engine because then you're not sitting there at the light waiting for another. You're burning gas.
Yeah.
So if you begin to do those things, it begins to have a larger impact. And so I was happy when gas prices went up.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because it forced people to reevaluate.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
Even better that the three major car companies are in major distress now, because now if we give them any money, they have to make energy-efficient cars because they were fighting it for years and years and years. So in answer to your question about the Earth, I do worry about it. But I realized long ago, Lance, that I can't control the entire reality. I can only do my part.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I do my part, that shifts the consciousness. So even me just writing the humor book, The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment, people can say, oh, there's not many books out like this. Oh, I can laugh at this. I don't have to be so serious.
Yeah.
That begins to have an impact.
Well, yes. I wiser words might have been spoken, but I haven't heard them today.
Okay.
From you.
All right, I'll take that. I'll take that compliment.
No, I agree. That really does make a lot of sense because, you know, I've always been an idealist. And, you know, as I was growing up and being a little hippie boy, you know, smoking pot and sitting by the river and meditating and the rest of it, I thought that it was very important to change the world. And I still find myself falling into that old mindset occasionally, you know, that the injustice of things and this has to stop and blah, 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 and I get on my little soapbox. But the reality is that you can only change yourself.
For many years, I sacrificed. I've done many things in the metaphysical field, and what I found was that it was good that I helped people, that I was loving to people, that I tried to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have my own life together and I wasn't happy, I wasn't much of an example. So, like, I wish I could feed all the starving people that are in the world. People are suffering because our life in the United States, even the worst person who's really struggling, is still a million times better than these other countries where there's not democracy or there's, you know, I don't even want to go into that whole thing, but
oh no.
But the bottom line is our quality of life is good, but the other thing is when you see people suffering, they might have created those situations. I mean, I've had some terrible things happen to me, and when I look back, it forced me to make changes, it forced me to take action. So I don't want to assume that because I feel like I have knowledge or higher knowledge or metaphysical knowledge that I know better.
Yeah.
I don't. All I know is what intuitively I know has integrity, and I will act upon that, but I can't look at other people and say, no, they shouldn't be doing that. I don't invalidate them. Everything is equal. So it's hard to judge. It's hard to balance those judgments and evaluations all together, but you have to be very neutral, what I've learned, is being about neutral.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I agree with you on that one, too.
Mm.
I suppose you've had people compare you to another...
Oh, God, don't say it.
Okay, I won't. Speaking of gas, there's a very good way to correct the gas situation. Just don't eat beans.
Oh, that's true. Well, you know, I promote...
I segued out of that last one pretty easily.
I don't have a farting sound effect, but I'll just put in some extra ones there. I promote the idea of Roberthal in The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment. And Roberthal is taking your dog poop and converting it into a type of methane fuel. So we can take all those fat dogs, put them on treadmills, and that can generate energy from the treadmills. And then when they poop, you know, that we can use that for fuel.
Oh, well, now that's an interesting one. Okay. I'll have to think about that one.
But
I'll have to let that one sink in.
As you just said about the other guy you were going to compare me to, let me just say this. I respect the other humorist that's in the New Age field. I appreciate what he does, but for me, it's like I'm his shadow side. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I'm his shadow side. I appreciate what he does, but I know all his material.
Yeah.
The jokes are good, but they're kind of old after a while. So
yeah.
My goal is that I don't want to be around doing this in 10 years. I mean, hopefully I'll be dead, you know, or something. I want to be funny, get in there, do some crazy things, and then get out so another guy can come along. But I appreciate everybody who's in the field. There's all good things, but I'm sure I will bump into him at some time. And if people, listeners, know who I'm talking about, you'll know who I'm talking about. So
yes.
Anyway, I've got to pretend like I'm full of love and light, but actually I hate that guy. I can't stand every time I go to a show, like, you are just like, oh my God,
oh,
no.
Well, you're not. Okay. You're not just like, I mean, I've had He Who Cannot Be Named on the show, and you know what's really funny about it?
Mm.
It was the one show, I don't know what happened to that recording, but it never got uploaded, so it's as if it never happened.
Well, that I could say, yeah, well, when you get drunk and that happens, a lot of times you can't say even if it happened. Well, you know, he's all over the place, and it's good, and, you know, it's fine.
Well, we're here to talk about you.
Me, not so the unleavened one, often the rational guide to enlightenment. How to become enlightened on a budget by taking a course in the power of the celestial smicker prophecy, the Matzo Code, now, published by Dream Tree Press, and always visit me at www.gurumatzo.com.
Trademark.
It's not easy being humbled, but I try.
Oh, that's good. Well, you're succeeding fairly well. You're succeeding fairly
and,
well.
And now for the remainder of the talk, I want to speak in a different voice.
All right.
I want to speak as Captain Christopher Pike of Star Trek.
All right.
Do you know what I'm talking about? The TV show? The guy was burned and he only could...
Yeah, oh... That's
all right.
Right.
Give your laugh. Save this recording, Lance, and later you'll laugh at it. All right, next
oh,
joke.
Oh, God, that went right over my head.
Okay, there it goes. All right,
oh,
I'm very
God.
Speedy. I'm fast. I'm rapid fire.
Yeah.
I'm going to move because, you know, I'm on parole, but I have to make sure, you know, when I'm, you know, doing anything illegal, I got to move around a lot. So I got to be quick on, you know, quick on my feet, you know, because these gurus, you know, we have to like go in and try to do some miracles. If it doesn't work, we got to go to the next town.
That's right. That's right. So, speaking of the next town, where are you going to be? Are you going to be live anywhere? Or I know you're not dead.
I'm working. Thank you. Well, yes, I am calling from beyond the grave.
You're channeled. So this is a ghostly show tonight.
You know, I've channeled other people, but nobody's ever channeled me. Anyway, maybe after I die, somebody will channel me. Well, what I'm doing right now is I'm working on a one-man show. There's some local places in the Denver area that I'm performing at. I'm doing some shtick here. And, you know, I hope to be traveling some more now. But, you know, the book came out. I'm doing a monthly column now. I'm working on some videos. So gradually I'll get out there. But the problem is that when people see me, again, they can't quite figure out what I'm trying to do. They either think that I'm just going to be a silly goofball clown, or they don't understand the little bit of the dark humor. So I'm just trying to get the book out there, The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera,
and,
yes.
you know, and then gradually fan out. But I applied for different jobs. I applied to the Obama campaign. I wanted to become Obama's new spiritual advisor. Since his previous minister, you know, got kicked out of that.
Oh, that's right. Boy, that was
I got some good tips on the busboy job down at the Waffle House locally. So I'm a mover and shaker, man. I'm making things happen.
Well, you're working on your backup plans, and I think that's a very wise choice. I don't have any backup plans. You know, I go forward, and my car doesn't go in reverse. So.
Well, let's see what Captain Pike has to say about that.
You don't say. You're kidding. Oh,
what?
My God. He doesn't like Captain Kirk at all.
Well, I don't want to get into that conflict. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Why dig up old pain?
Well,
but listen, Lance, I got some other wills. Can I do? You know, let me talk about reality creation for a second. There's a public service announcement. Oftentimes, metaphysical people, they do their affirmations, they do their mantras, they you know, they follow the guru around, they read The Secret, they watch The Secret, they realize that there's no secret, it's simply a schmecret. But oftentimes, things just happen, we don't know how, and after it's all done and said, we say,
that was easy.
You see, that's what the whole thing is. Now, one of the things I want to... Now, let me do a little bit of political commentary, actually economic commentary. here's how we will get out of our current financial situation. I want everybody to listen up, and this is something you can all do right now to become very wealthy. Everybody should get a tip jar.
Yeah.
You go out and get a tip jar and put a couple of coins in it so you have a little, you know, a little action there. It sounds like, you know, something's going on there.
Okay.
And just stand on the street corner, make up a sign. It could be, you know, we'll do tantra for money, you know, we'll read your aura for money, you know, something. And just rattle that can, just have a tip. It can be anywhere. I'm planning an event right now. We're in the beginning stages, but I'm Matzo, the Unleavened One, author of The Raffles Guide to Enlightenment. I'm going to build the world's largest tip jar in the world. And I will sit in that tip jar for 24 hours to raise awareness about the temporary low balance in my bank account. And I will ask everybody who's listening to tell, I don't know, a couple of other people, maybe 10,000 other people on their email list,
yeah,
to come to the world's biggest tippest jar and throw money in there.
Okay.
And in that way, you know, I can, you know, pay off my debts. I have many children, you know, illegitimate, so I could pay them off. So I don't have to talk to them again.
And then you can afford to have some more of them.
Unfortunately, that's one of the things that keeps on seeming to be expanding. In addition to my conscience, my lineage keeps on expanding, you know, my offspring. But, you know, what can I say? I'm a very prolific guru.
Yes, I absolutely will. You are going to be, where's the next place where you're going to be doing stand-up comedy?
Right now I'm just in Denver. It's a place called the Mercury Cafe.
Okay,
I'm going to be doing some things out there. Doing some things over there, but it probably won't be until next year that I'll be traveling around a little bit right now. But right now I'm just working on material, and I'm working on the next book. The next book, the sequel to The Raffles Guide to Enlightenment, will be about wealth and success.
Oh.
So, my favorite topic, you know, because, you know, money is very spiritual. The more money I have, the more spiritual I feel. So I'm working on that book right now, and I'm doing one about sex.
Oh.
But that one's taking a lot of research. So if there are any attractive women who want to help me with that research out in the audience, go to gurumatsu.com, email me. And
send a picture.
That would be good. Picture, measurements,
yeah.
You know, turn-ons, turn-offs, blood type, all the key, indicators.
Exactly.
It may take me many years of research, Lance, to do that sex book, but I'm very committed, like Kinsey, to making sure it's very thorough.
Well, good for you. You know, it's said that we're, you know, you. How old were you during the 60s, the 65, 6, 7, 8? Were you?
I never give exactly my exact age,
right.
So I'd say I was a little kid. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, it's said, as I've had astrologers on the show, and they claim that cycle, which didn't complete itself, is we're entering into it now. So we're actually supposedly entering into a period when which will be very similar to the 60s, except it picks up where that left off, and we get to finish what we started with all the free love and the, you know, the really great ideas that came out of that period.
If I can meet New Age chicks who believe in free love, bring it on, baby, bring it on!
I doubt that there will ever be another Haight Ashbury again, and I don't think that there will ever be another revolution with LSD and the rest of it, but maybe a consciousness revolution.
Well, that's what I'm hoping that I can spur that and add that a little bit, but add fun to it, because I think what one of the pitfalls of the flower power generation and the flower children was, from what I told, I remember reading the old Edgar Cayce stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he's talked about Atlantis, which I'm going to make another reference. Do you know who Rompha the Enlightened One was?
Oh yeah.
So that's how I got my name, Matzo, the Unleavened One. That's a parody of Rompha.
Oh, it is. Well, as long as it's a parody.
Yeah, because Rompha, I mean, the old material was great, but I don't know. Rompha, as the years went on, they got a little bit weird. But the old Rompha material?
That cigar got awfully stale.
Well, yeah.
Are you there?
I'm not sure what happened, but I know back in the 80s when Rompha came out, I loved the teachings, and then...
Yeah.
I don't know, I just heard strange things that were going on there. I didn't get the same good feeling. But
no, I've heard the same strange things probably.
I mean, I had a teacher that I don't want to be controversial here.
Oh, that's all
very
right.
Humble and quiet, but you know, Rompha is a male energy,
right?
In a female body.
That's right.
So if you go to Yelm, Washington, where they had their commune, you'll see that the followers, if they're women, they dress like men.
Huh.
And then vice versa. It's like they're all like confused because they're trying to be like Ramtha.
Well,
this is from a guy who wears a beard and a white outfit for me, but I mean, you know.
Well, what I find strange is that Ramtha makes statements about homosexuality being something less than that has to be fixed.
My own experience with channelers is that I can kind of tell like if it's authentic or not, and I feel like what happened with Ramtha, to go back to the old material, it was very clear and pure.
Yeah.
But then as time goes on, I mean, to be honest, and maybe I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I don't think she's channeling anymore.
My gut feeling, too.
I think they're just, because you know the material. If somebody reads my book, The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment, and they've been hearing me enough, they could do me. And they would have, they could say I'm channeling Matzo.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
But anyway, let me go back to the point about Atlantis, was that they said that, Edgar Cayce said that the Flyer Power generation was the reincarnation of a warlike group from Atlantis where they blew themselves up and they came back to fight war to sort of, you know, clear up that karma.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of always made sense to me. As for now, I think that a lot of these indigo kids that are being born,
mm-hmm.
Which I talk about in my book, I kind of make a parody about them, that they are there's some very advanced kids. They're coming along and, they will raise the consciousness, but then there's different generations.
There's the crystals and the rainbows and the psychic kids from China and so on and so forth.
Well, but the thing is, too, with the indigo kids, I mean, just because a kid has ADD doesn't mean he's smart. I mean, that's one of the jokes I have is that, you know, these women, they go to holistic fairs and they bring up their kids and say, oh, this is an indigo kid. And you're like, look at the kid. And you're like, well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But they always think they're special. But every parent thinks their kid is special. So I know that they're indigo kids. But ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this, believe me, not every kid is an indigo kid. So snap out of it, all right?
Snap out of it. Wake up.
and buy my products like...
That's right.
The Matzo brand Oven Love and Coven barbecue set.
Hey, why don't you develop an indigo test kit?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm gonna steal that idea because that's what I do. I'm gonna steal indigo test kit.
Yeah, put it in their mouth, and if it turns purple, they're indigo.
An indigo pregnancy test kit.
You need a ghostwriter.
No, I don't. What do you mean? That's insulting. I need a ghostwriter. I don't need a ghostwriter. I'm not going to share my profits with you, Lance.
Oh, well, it was a nice try. I mean,
that's right.
Goodness,
keep
I
trying with somebody else.
This darn radio show.
Call that other comedian. Maybe he could use some material, but not me. I'm okay.
Oh, yeah, that other one.
That other one.
He whose name shall not be mentioned.
No, never.
Never.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure I'll bump into him.
I'm sure you will.
I should challenge him to a duel, but I'm not quite ready yet.
Well, I don't know about that.
You know how you defeat me? We would start dueling.
Well,
we would start doing those terrible puns.
Oh,
and it would like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
It would just kill me, and I would just fall apart because I had the puns. Enough puns already.
Yeah. Well. We're almost at the end of the show, believe it or not. We have enough time for you to spew a little wisdom if you want. I can put you on the spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the seven dirty words you cannot say at a motivational seminar. Can't, couldn't, no, not, never, impossible, refund. Now listen, if I may talk to the people personally in the audience, spanning all the dimensions, all the countries, and probably, I don't know, the three people who are online right now. If you want to become enlightened, there's this one simple key that you need to remember. Do you know what that is, Lance?
No.
Buy The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment. How to Become Enlightened on a Budget by taking a course in the Power of the Celestial Shmink of Prophecy to Matzo Code now, because I need the royalties, people. And if I'm happy, you'll be happy. If you don't buy the book, I'm coming to your home, and you're not going to like it because I eat all your food, I drink all your beer, and I'll fool around with any single woman. So that's reason enough.
That's
to get the Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment through Dreamtree Press or visit me at GuruMatzo.com. Remember, I'm a humble guru, I'm a simple man, but I have a very rich lifestyle. And if I'm ever to reach my dream of having my own tropical island filled with beautiful women and able to swim in piles of money, I need you to work with me. So work with me. This is the unity. This is the oneness. The harmonic convergence happened in August of 1987. I just looked it up, Lance.
Oh, good.
Remember that energy, and then think of me, Matzo, and buy my book and give me some money. Thank you.
Well, there's not much one can add to that.
No. except lots of zeros and dollar signs. I take all my psychic channels are open for business. I take all major credit cards, but no chickens and no eggs.
Well, I wish I had your chutzpah when it came to marketing my own book, but I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes.
All right. Maybe we go to a book tour. Maybe we'll co-write something. What was the name of your book, by the way, Lance?
Tales of a Zany Mystic.
Tales of a Zany Mystic. Almost as good as The Rascal's Guide to Enlightenment, but still a good read. Get it, too. There you go. There you go. That's a free little pitch there. Hello?
Well, we have to go.
I can't leave you. We can, we cannot be separated, Lance. I've grown bonded to you.
Well,
the Benjamin issue.
Thank you so much,
okay,
man.
Go ahead. Where's my self-esteem energizer? I'm okay. I'm coming down.
Okay.
All right, Lance.
All right. Thanks again, Matt.
Peace out.
All right. Have a great time at the coffee shop.
I will.
And with your life. And with
all
your
right.
book.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a million. Good night, everybody.